Greetings, Sun Sounds listeners, and welcome to the Philosopher Program. This is your host, Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer reader Candy Lewis, along with our co-host, Bullet Lewis. We begin our program with some daily selections from Science of Mind, Guide for Spiritual Living, and it is the start of a new month, beautiful August, and the theme for this month is On the Wings of Love. The daily guides this month were written by Reverend Dr. Michelle Medrano. Do not feel lonely. The entire universe is inside you. Stop acting so small. You are the universe in ecstatic motion. Set your life on fire. Rumi. Do you love you? What if self-love is the lodestone of life? In my own experience, I've observed that life mirrored my inability during the periods that I struggled to love, honor, and respect myself. Conversely, life mirrored times I was able to extend love to myself. I believe this is all about energy and consciousness. Therefore, this month, each daily guide will offer an invitation for us to love ourselves more profoundly. Let us take 31 days to focus on self-love. From being a receptionist to guiding two successful centers for spiritual living churches as a woman of eminence, Reverend Dr. Michelle Medrano was destined for more than being a manager at the mall. At age 18, she was on her path to a higher calling. She has been a bedrock in the New Thought movement for more than four decades, establishing herself as a formidable force for good with an intense passion for teaching and sharing her wisdom with her vast following. Her fulfilling life is a demonstration of the power of manifestation as she walks her talk and embodies the essence of heart kindness and joy. She is currently a co-lead minister at Mile High Church in Lakewood, Colorado. Happiness and self-love. To fall in love with yourself is the first secret to happiness. Robert Morley. People must realize that no matter how infinite the infinite may be, it can only become to them what it can become through them. Ernest Holmes, Love and Law, page 213. We begin with the true secret to happiness, loving ourselves. Many think the secret is loving others. While loving others is important and satisfying, what if the first step to the truest of loves is loving ourselves? What if we consider that we can only be happy and fulfilled to the extent we are able to love and honor ourselves? This might be because of what Holmes tells us about how life can only become what it becomes to us and for us through us. This means life can only give to us at the level of self-acceptance we can attain. To experience greater good in our life has everything to do with becoming willing to love, honor, and respect ourselves. This is not a selfish endeavor. It is a vital way for us to show up as the best version of ourselves, happy and fulfilled. When we do this, we become powerful and beneficial presences. We also become manifestors of great good in our lives and in the places and with the people who share our lives, such as our families, friends, and workplaces. Maybe it is time to shed any habits of mind that are filled with self-criticism today. Let them go. Begin to affirm and claim self-love. Affirmation. I am my own true love. Today, I generously extend love to myself. Be confident. Loving yourself isn't vanity, it's sanity. Katrina Meyer. We know there is a power far greater than we are. There is a love that casts out fear and a faith that overcomes all obstructions. We must permit ourselves through affirmative thinking to enter into this power and this love with complete confidence. Ernest Holmes, 10 Ideas That Make a Difference, page 35.2. Sometimes I find myself feeling critical of people I deem to be too confident in themselves. My judgments include the notions that they are full of themselves, arrogant, too big for their britches, and irritating. I am tempted to avoid them. They make me uncomfortable. Yet, in moments of greater wisdom, I wonder why someone else being confident bothers me so much. They are just being and doing what they honestly feel is the highest and best way for them to be. Often, my discomfort is a matter of trust. Like many, I was taught not to be too full of myself. In my attempts to behave and do as I was asked, I often feel critical of those who are not following the same rules. I don't trust that they are being authentic, and I wonder if this is an act or the way they hide their true insecurities about themselves. I have come to discover that my challenge in this regard is likely a projection issue. I struggle at times to be and feel confident, and in my struggle and criticism of myself, I have dysfunctional perceptions of others who express themselves confidently. Ultimately, being and feeling confident in our abilities, our skills, and ourselves is a powerful place to express in and from. Even if we have to act as if to get there, there is greater power and ultimate truth in confidence. Affirmation. I embrace and live from a greater confidence in myself today and every day. And from the same issue, the Personal Affirmations by Eugene Holden, RSCP. On the Wings of Love. Love points the way. We are living in some interesting times when separation seems to run rampant. Every experience is an opportunity to love. Ask the question, what would love do here? Listen for the answer, then let love point the way. I allow love to guide me on my path of growth, expansion, and expression. I am the love that heals all wounds. I am the love of God, of Spirit, of the universe. Love your neighbor. I think about what life would be like if we all loved others the way we love ourselves. What a wonderful world that would be. Let us commit to loving others as we love ourselves. What's the best that can happen? As love in action, I commit to loving my neighbor the way I love myself. I am the love of the divine, spreading peace everywhere I go. I am love in action. Seeing through the eyes of love. Loving our neighbors as we love ourselves calls for us to first love who we are. We can choose to see ourselves through the eyes of love. Past mistakes? Forgive them. You are here to be love. I am the love of God, of Spirit, of the universe. I see through the eyes of love. I forgive myself and others for past mistakes. I am the love of God. Soar on the wings of love. Love is realized through our actions. Flying on the wings of love means your vibration is so high that it transforms the energy of any room you walk into. Choose today to be the vibration of love. I am guided and directed to be the presence of love everywhere I go. As I am lifted, I draw others to me by the magnetizing power of love. I soar on the wings of love. And so it is. I just want to pause for a moment to remind listeners, whenever you hear me read the word God, please substitute whatever it is that you believe in, God, Spirit, the universe, any words, so that the material still comes to you with its true meaning. And we turn now to the Daily Word published by Unity. Blessings. I am blessed to be a blessing. In biblical times, blessings and curses were both prayers with sharply different intents. To bless was to invoke divine power to bring about a good outcome. To curse meant the exact opposite. Jesus rejected the superstition that anyone can be cursed by God. Illness, calamity, flood, and famine are part of a natural cycle, not punishment from the divine. God is the source of good, only good. Goodness flows from God's spirits, the universe's presence, and power. I am blessed to be a blessing unto others. This is my ongoing prayer. I affirm my oneness with humanity. All people are blessings of God, of Spirit, of the universe, no matter how different they are from me. I am a beloved child of God, blessed to be a blessing, and so is everyone else. Rest. I rest and replenish myself in God, in Spirit, in the universe. There are many ways to rest, taking a refreshing nap, a leisurely stroll, or enjoying an unhurried visit with a friend can help me relax and slow down. The effects of those efforts can be short-lived, however. Resting in the peace and presence of God gives me a feeling of serenity and calm I can carry with me. As I pray, meditate, enjoy devotional reading, or spend time in spiritual community, I leave the cares of the world behind. My mind relaxes, and my breathing deepens as I touch the world beyond my senses. Here, I take my rest. I return to activity replenished and restored. Even as I re-engage with the world, I feel rested. I have the energy and focus to do all that is mine to do, knowing God, Spirit, the universe is within me. And the monthly affirmations for August. Inner peace. My mind and heart are steeped in peace. Wisdom. Centered in divine wisdom, I discern my next steps. Life. Attuned to infinite vitality, I thrive. Prosperity. I live richly in appreciation. Worth. I am a divine human, worthy and wondrous. And from Mark Nepo's The Book of Awakening, Having the Life You Want by Being Present to the Life You Have, The Pain of Becoming. For the flower, it is fully open at each step of its blossoming. We do ourselves a great disservice by judging where we are in comparison to some final destination. This is one of the pains of aspiring to become something. The stage of development we are in is always seen against the imagined landscape of what we are striving for. So where we are, though closer all the time, is never quite enough. The simple rose, at each moment of its slow blossoming, is as open as it can be. The same is true of our lives. In each stage of our unfolding, we are as stretched as possible, for the human heart is quite slow to blossom and is only seen as lacking when compared to the imagined lover or father or mother we'd like to become. It helps to see ourselves as flowers. If a flower were to push itself to open faster, which it can't, it would tear. Yet we humans can and often do push ourselves. Often we tear in places no one can see. When we push ourselves to unfold faster or more deeply than is natural, we thwart ourselves. For nature takes time, and most of our problems of will stem from impatience. Before my experience with cancer, I was sorely driven as an artist. I pushed myself greatly. I think the creative impulse was deep and irrepressible in me and ultimately healthy, but it was my secret need to achieve some sort of greatness that made me press until something began to rip. It was the unending, relentless push to measure up, and quickly, against some imagined form of myself that made the flower of my mind tear. I do not believe that people bring cancer on themselves, but I do believe that wherever we weaken ourselves, that part will give way to illness first. It was not by accident that the cancer struck the creative side of my brain. Perhaps one of the hardest remedies to accept for our pain of becoming is that wherever we are in our path, no matter how flawed or incomplete, is a blossoming unto itself. However much we've done at the end of the day is more than enough. It is dream becoming truth. Close your eyes and meditate on a simple yellow rose that is budding. Breathe fully and do not wait for the rose to fully open to see its beauty. Rather, focus on the yellow petals about to open. See their beauty now. Breathe deeply and look upon yourself as such a rose. Do not wait for some imagined end to see your own beauty. Rather, inhale and appreciate the beauty of yourself about to open. We return to Science of Mind for Reverend Jane Beach's monthly column, Free to Be. Kindness, it's who you are. You don't have to move mountains. You will change the world just by being a warm, kind-hearted human being. Anita Crizan. My faith in kindness is strong. I've lived long enough to know that a single act of kindness can alter the course of a person's life. In their darkest hour, they may remember someone who was kind to them, so they must be worthy of kindness. That self-worth ignites a light that changes their self-perspective. Reaching out to another in kindness can save a life. Much as I've tried, I can't fix the world. My heart aches for all who are hurting. What I can do is show kindness to those around me. I can donate, volunteer, say a prayer. Instead of wringing my hands, I can make a difference just by being me. The energy of my good intentions lifts up the vibration of humanity. Peace, hope, and generosity of spirit begin with me. There are people in my life who are treasures to me. When did I last tell them? What if I did something special for them just to say, thank you for being you? There are also people I don't get along with and try to avoid. How might both of our lives change if I did something kind for them? Being kind to others not only feels good, but it also expands my growth. I do my best to treat others with dignity and compassion. I strive to treat myself the same way. Created from divine love, we're all loving and lovable at our core, but sometimes we forget. I pray to be mindful that the person in before me may have forgotten that they're loving and lovable. Treating them with respect helps us both remember who we are. The more I practice treating myself with loving kindness, the easier it is to treat others the same way. I send the silent message, "May you be happy," to those around me. We all want to be noticed, valued, and loved. Wouldn't it be awesome if we all believed we deserved it? And from the same issue, an article by Dr. Dennis Merritt Jones, "Expanding Your Horizon is an Insight Job. The Explorer Within Knows the Way." Whoever said that the sky is the limit must not have realized that it's not the sky that limits us. It's our perception of the sky. For thousands of years, explorers invariably looked to the stars above and the horizon below, that pristine place where the sky and earth appear to commingle, as a reference point to mark their bearings before setting out on a journey to new and distant lands. They understood that if they wanted to expand their horizons, they had to be willing to move away from the comfort of their current locations and toward the mystery that lay in front of them, beyond what the eye could discern. The horizon has long wooed us to come closer and see what we have not seen before, to experience a greater dimension of life and find meaning and purpose in the journey. There lies within each of us an explorer who yearns for higher ground, a vantage point from which to garner an expanded view of life and the boundless possibilities that come with thinking beyond what is known. When we were young, that explorer within continually sought new territory. Any toddler is proof of this theory. But over the years, the spirit of the inner explorer became domesticated, being taught, for our own good, never to venture too far outside the safety zone of the known. And there, in a comfortable box, many of us set up camp, perhaps curious about the mysteries and wonders that new horizons hold for us, but never moving toward them to make the discovery for ourselves. The good news is, it's never too late to reawaken that explorer within and expand our horizons. The quintessential question is, how do we make that leap? What is the first step? The answer may lie in reigniting the sense of awe and wonder we had about the universe when we were young. Reignite your inner explorer. When did you last take the time to gaze upward on a clear night and scan the infinite canopy of stars, contemplating where the edge of the universe might be, and perhaps wondering what your role is in the grand scheme of such an amazing cosmic story spanning 14 billion years? If it has been a while, you may want to consider some stargazing one night soon, because it will energize you and awaken that explorer spirit within. When I was 10 years old, I didn't intellectually comprehend the spiritual significance, let alone the miracle of the universe, but even then I innately sensed that I belonged. I knew I was part of something expansive, something far greater than myself, that had an intelligent, structured pattern that seemed to know what it was doing. Surely, if this intelligence knew how to hold the stars and planets in place for countless millennia, while at the same time expanding at the speed of light, it would know how to hold my life in place through all the fifth grade, and perhaps well beyond, even over the distant horizon called sixth grade. Thinking back, this awareness gave me a feeling of inner peace, which engendered a sense of confidence that I was meant to be here, and that my life had purpose and meaning yet to be discovered. The explorer spirit in you knows this is true about you as well. Because the universe is expanding exponentially at the speed of light, your perspective of the universe, and therefore your relationship with the universe, is essential. You will feel either minuscule, insignificant, separate from it all, or just the opposite, a great and vital part of it all. Explorers sense the sacred spark, the burning ember within that affirms they are one with the expanding light from which they came. Be conscious in your quest. The cosmos is within us. We are made of star stuff. We are a way for the universe to know itself. Carl Sagan. As astronomer Carl Sagan points out, you are an expression of an infinite universe seeking to know itself finitely. Imagine that. Not only are you part of something far greater than yourself, you have a role to play, and that is to be a unique microcosm of the grand macrocosm, a self-knowing, living, expanding universe. This means all the attributes of the macrocosm must already exist within the microcosm. The only question is, will you fulfill that role consciously or unconsciously? The explorer in you knows that the more conscious you are in your quest, the more power you will actualize from within. To realize you are a conscious conduit through which the universe expands is profoundly empowering. It means you have become an intentional co-creator with the Creator, and therefore new horizons are not only possible, they are compellingly reachable. Honor the divine urge. The first principle of a living universe is expansion. There is an impulse within each of us that is constantly pushing out, seeking to express and know more of itself through us. Ernest Holmes referred to this impulse as the divine urge. When we sense this divine nudge and we choose to give way to it, it lifts us to see new horizons, new possibilities we never knew existed. Horizon can be defined as the limit of a person's mental perception, experience, or interest. The operative word here is limit. Our perceived horizon sets the limit on our view of life. So the question is, do we try to expand the horizon itself or our view of the horizon? Anyone who has flown in an airplane knows that the higher you ascend, the most expansive the horizon is, and thus the greater your perspective becomes. Nothing necessarily changes, but how you see it changes immensely. This is not a metaphor, it's how consciousness works. Similarly, in The Science of Mind, Holmes elucidates the role consciousness plays in determining the horizon to which we can aspire. Man's experience is the logical outcome of his inner vision. His horizon is limited to the confines of his own consciousness. Whenever this consciousness lacks a true perspective, its outward expression will lack proper harmony. Since your life experience always rises to the rim of your consciousness, no higher, and finds expression at that level, by establishing a conscious awareness of your oneness with the universe, you'll be more likely to find your place in the universe. And conversely, but equally important, you'll be able to find its place in you. This is the fulcrum at which you consciously merge with the infinite, where life truly becomes a sacred journey. As you align with and ride the cosmic wave of expansion that inherently pulsates in and through all living things, you are lifted to a new perspective, and as a result, a new horizon of reality appears before you. As you rise in consciousness, you begin to see things differently. This does not mean you live in the fifth dimensional ethers of some alternate reality. You belong here with your feet planted on terra firma. Your role is to be a conscious conduit through which the infinite knows itself as the finite. This is where and how heaven touches earth, through and by means of you. This is also what awakens the explorer's spirit within. With this heightened perspective, you are free to explore and move through the human condition with an enhanced purview. Knowing you are able to seek and find new expanded horizons right before your eyes, between the cracks and crevices of your daily life. You don't require cosmic enlightenment to expand your consciousness of your horizon, just an awareness of your oneness with life and an understanding of how an expanding universe conspires to enlarge upon itself in and through you every moment of every day. Live your larger life. If we want truly extraordinary vision, then we have to continually expand our horizons, take risks. If we don't push our edge, we'll never expand our view. It's not trespassing to go beyond your own boundaries. DeWitt Jones. There is a larger life waiting for us just beyond our current reality. The universe is perpetually offering us an expanded horizon, a larger piece of the cosmic sky, wherein all things are possible. As all explorers have done, we must first have the courage to push the edge of our current belief system and go beyond the sometimes sacrosanct boundaries we set for ourselves. When we cast and embrace an inner vision of the life we wish to live and tenaciously embody that vision, faithfully following where it leads, new horizons open before us. This is what Emerson meant when he wrote, "The health of the eye seems to demand a horizon. We are never tired so long as we can see far enough." To remain healthy of spirit, mind, and body, we must continue to look up and see new territory. What new horizon is calling you? Can you see far enough to catch the vision of the life that lingers, waiting for you just beyond that horizon? Can you hold your eye on that vision and continue toward it through fair weather or foul, good times or bad? Even if you are uncertain you can make the journey, your inner explorer knows the way and is ready to depart when you are. Taking action is a prerequisite. The amazing thing is, once you reach that new land of opportunity, there will be yet another horizon in the distance calling to you, awaiting your arrival. That's what new horizons are all about. They show us there is more to know, more to do, and as long as we live in a human skin, there always shall be. We return now to the Daily Word and an article by Katie Kuntz, The Ease and Grace of Letting Go. Most memories from my early years are of special times with family and friends, yet one memory stands out as a message about the importance of letting go and allowing myself to be guided. While it happened in winter, even now, more than 50 years later, hardly a month goes by that the lesson doesn't cross my mind. I learned how to ski in seventh grade when our local recreation department started chartering buses for day trips from suburban Philadelphia to various ski venues. I went as often as I could. I'd take a lesson first thing and then spend the rest of the day practicing what I learned. My parents bought me a pair of used skis that were way too long for me, making them hard to control, but I was determined to learn. On one of my first trips, I decided to tackle the tamest of the beginner slopes before lunch. A ground lift called a J-bar took skiers to the top of the slope. The process was to stand with skis pointing toward the hill. A J-shaped metal bar that hung from a cable came up behind each skier, catching them right beneath the seat of their pants, and then guided them along tracks in the snow that led up the hill. When my turn came, I gripped the bar tightly as I wrestled with my skis to keep them in the tracks. Inevitably, either my grip would give out or my skis would cross, and I'd fall. Then I'd ski down the hill and get back in the lift line. I did this over and over, sometimes getting farther up the hill, but always eventually falling. After a while, I took a lunch break, hoping I'd do better after a bit of rest and refueling. When I returned, I stood at the bottom of the same slope and watched the skiers on the lift, hoping to see how they were managing to master it. One was adjusting his goggles. Another waved to friends. Others simply stood with their arms resting at their sides as the J-bars pulled them up the hill. None were hanging on as tightly as I had been. They were just allowing the lift to gently pull them along the track. I was astonished. I'd misunderstood how the lift worked. It didn't require holding on at all. All I had to do was point my skis in the right direction and allow the J-bar to guide me. Not only could I let go of the bar, but I was supposed to let go. It worked when I tried it. I made it to the top of the hill without falling. I had the distinct impression that this experience was going to stay with me, and that it might be about more than the J-bar. In the decades since, I've realized that when my human will wants me to hold on to something, sometimes the most empowering thing I can do is to let go and allow the divine within to guide me. Well, at the time, that may seem counterintuitive and maybe even scary. Holding on can impede my progress and may cause me to miss an opportunity to grow and to trust. I no longer have those two long skis, but I did keep the valuable lesson about the importance of letting go. Katie Kuntz is editor-in-chief of Spirituality and Health, a Unity publication, and was previously editor of Unity magazine. She lives in Knoxville, Tennessee. We pause for a moment to remind you that you are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona, 24 hours of programming from over 300 publications, and you're currently listening to the Philosopher Program with your host, Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer reader, Candy Lewis. If you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org/broadcastinfo/audio/on-demand. We return now to Channeled Messages from Deep Space, Wisdom for a Changing World by Mike Dooley and with Tracy Farquhar, who channels a group called Frank, and they have learned how to travel through universes without spaceships or their bodies, and they help other communities, other planets, other people going through some of the same things they went through. We We are in part two, Life on Earth, and this is where Mike's questions in this section are to probe what Frank knows about who we are and where we've been, as well as to learn from them as much as possible about our history and place in creation that we've not yet learned from our own discoveries and self-reflection. We start with Mike's question, are there other species on Earth that are philosophical? Are there species that wonder about how they came to be? If so, which types of animals or species? Have you had a two-way communication with any of them? There are many different levels of intelligence among the sentient beings in your world, and this intelligence does not always correspond with the ideas you may already have in your belief system about the nature of intelligence. All beings, from the simplest and smallest to the most complex, have a level of conscious intelligence and awareness of their own existence that goes beyond the programming of the brain. They are born with an innate knowledge of the nature of being, and for some, this knowledge is not questioned or pondered, but simply accepted as the reality of existence. While there is knowledge of past experiences and anticipation of future events, most of these creatures live very much in the present moment, adjusting their actions to their needs in that moment and holding their energetic field in whatever that experience is offering them. As such, most of the creatures you keep as pets are supreme teachers of the importance and value of this moment-to-moment experience. It is why you are so innately drawn to the energy of these creatures, as they do not sit in a sense of regret or worry or judgment. Most of these creatures who are well-loved and treated with respect and caring will exhibit an energy of pure gratitude and bliss. However, they will also respond emotionally to that which challenges them, and in that way, you are able to relate and sympathize with these creatures as fellow conscious, feeling beings. You recognize in them an aspect of yourselves that is sometimes buried beneath the responsibilities you've taken on and the belief that you need to control your life and environment at all times. These creatures do not experience such a powerful need to control. While they have an instinct for survival, which will often dictate their actions, they will also understand when they need to simply accept and flow with the experiences that come their way. And while they can experience sadness, they do not dwell in an energy of regret or self-abasement. There are some species of creatures on your planet that resonate with higher divine energy and therefore have the capacity of self-awareness on a different level of frequency than others. These creatures have the energetic power of discernment and are more aware of their own free will and connection. We have experienced this in dolphins and whales, in the higher primates such as gorillas, in elephants, and in some species of parrots. There may be others with this energetic connection that we are not yet aware of, but these are the beings we most recognize as bearing the awareness that gives them a more complex connection to themselves and others. This does not mean that they have the same types of thought processes as humans. There are similarities, but there are also many differences. And so it is important to understand that they are separate, whole, and complete beings of light in and of themselves, and that the similarities or differences in the consciousness of any being does not make them any more or less valuable to the collective conscious energy of your planet. We have observed a complex system of thoughts, beliefs, and understanding in the species of creatures we have mentioned, which brings a higher level of awareness to the nature of their being and their influence on their environment and the creatures around them. They have excellent problem-solving skills and are able to change their beliefs when they find it in harmony with their greater good to do so. They can overcome their innate fears in favor of curiosity and the desire to learn and evolve, and they have an awareness of this as an important aspect of their existence. They do not define the nature of a higher power, but they have a sense of the connection with it, and they will be aware of this energy as being a supreme sense of the source of their being. As such, they do not necessarily question this or ponder it as humans do. They simply accept it as part of their existence. The higher awareness in these creatures leads them into actions that go beyond the simple instinct towards survival, and as such, you may find situations where these creatures will sacrifice themselves in favor of the greater good of the collective. They do not suffer the fear of death quite so much as humans, as they have a higher awareness of death as part of the natural life cycle, and so even though they have a will to live, they also have a natural understanding of the need to die, And sometimes we'll choose death when it appears to be beneficial to others of their species. This involves a complex thought process that is not available to most other species of being. These creatures feel a kinship with humans, although they also have an innate fear of them, unless they've been raised to trust them. Even those who naturally fear humans can feel that kinship and will use their natural instincts and intuition to guide them to seek out humans if they need help or rescue. This applies to the less complex consciousness of other species as well. There is a sense of kinship in many creatures with one another and with the energy of humans, and so even for those creatures who will defend themselves in what is perceived to be a violent way, or who may hunt a human as a food source, there is an awareness of the higher consciousness of humans and a form of respect for that consciousness, which can manifest as fear or as curiosity, depending on the circumstances. And so there is much to be learned from all the creatures on your planet, both those who have what you would deem a lower form of consciousness and those who have complex structures of intellect, awareness, and emotions. They're all related to you in their physical nature, their energetic nature, and the energy of their spirits. And in this way, they all deserve your respect, compassion, and loving care. We would suggest that you look at them in wonder and awe and ask them what they have to teach you when they appear in your lives, as even those who do not exhibit higher consciousness are directly connected to Source, and as aspects of divine energy that are different from that which you experience in your own existence, they have much to show you about the nature of reality. Mike, can you please speak to the polarization we tend to see in politics around the globe? Why the extreme positions on both sides? Here is where you are beginning to see the effects of the shift we've been speaking of. This may seem surprising to you, as it would appear that the shift in global consciousness would mean a move toward unity rather than division. However, in order to experience unity, the divisions must be made clear. In order for any healing to occur, whether it is within an individual, a collective, or a system, that which needs to be healed must be understood. And so in these early stages of the shift, you are seeing these divisions being made clear in many ways. This may appear to be quite disheartening. However, allow us to assure you that you are only just beginning to see the uprising and groundswell of love that is necessary for the real healing to begin. Understand that the sense of division comes from fear. It is a fear that the systems in which the population has placed all of its trust and faith have failed them. It is a sense of needing to divide in order to regroup into a more resonant type of system or government or culture. The old ways will not stand, and the new ways must have space made for them. As you witness in your own individual lives, any type of change requires a disintegration of the old. And as the ego maintains a hold on that which is crumbling, it creates suffering as the process unfolds. Do not lose heart in the illusion of division that is occurring before your eyes. Remember from whence you came. You began as a single cell that only supported life when it began to divide, and it was in that division of cells that the unity began, creating the matter that houses you as a single organism, as a unit of consciousness, as a divine extension of Source, separate and individual, and yet unified with the consciousness of all others and with the supreme energy of Source. Here, as your population stands within its energy, the true division is only between love and fear. This is the basis of all division among living entities. For when one stands in love, there is no division. And when one stands in fear, there is nothing but division. It is within each individual to choose, and there is no wrong choice, as fear is as necessary as love in creating change. Stay awake to your spiritual growth and continue on with loving compassion for those who stand in fear. They are not to be pitied or conquered, but rather respected for their own views and what they are reflecting back to you about your own fears. As you begin to heal these fears within yourself, you will begin to see the healing in your culture. Mike, is there a highly evolved civilization now active inside Earth? According to Ramtha, channeled by author J.Z. Knight, the Earth is hollow and it is at least partially populated. Let us just say that there are infinite universes within universes, and dimensional spaces within dimensions, and material worlds within worlds. Our existence is not limited by the material that you know, and countless dimensional spaces exist all around you. Your life experience is multidimensional and unlimited. To place these dimensional spaces in a particular material space and time is not exactly the truth, although it does help our limited understanding to grasp the concept of a multidimensional reality. This is quite a roundabout way of saying that in the physical sense of your current dimensional reality, another race of beings living within your Earth is not the truth, but as a form of multidimensional reality that is quite removed from your understanding of the material existence of life, there is. Mike, who is responsible for crop circles? There's been quite a bit of controversy concerning the originator of these types of crop formations in various parts of the world. We've been observing these phenomena on your planet for a while now, and it is our premise that while there are some formations that are made by the hand of man, there are others that are unmistakably real and created by something above your planet's surface. These signatures from above often convey messages to those who have the patience and knowledge to hear them. For instance, we believe the crop circle that appeared in Wiltshire, UK in August 2015, which incorporates many versions of the number 9 within it, was created to assure mankind that it is nearing the final part of this current stage of universal energy, and that its passing will usher in a new, gentler energy. There have been many who have been feeling the effects of the recent shift, and this has not always been a pleasant feeling, but we believe this indicates the passing of this feeling and a movement toward a more integrated way of being. The number 9 contains all the other numbers within it, and it signifies completion and rest, which may be what is being urged here. There are some specific dates alluded to on this formation, and they indicate those times when the solar, planetary, and atmospheric conditions are quite in alignment with what is necessary for the highest degree of energetic support for this shift. There are numeric calculations that create the type of symmetry that is seen in what you term sacred geometry, and the frequency of these energetic shapes allows for the flow of certain types of energy. The beings who create some of these formations are well versed in the interplay of these energies and wish to help you discover the beauty of them through the beauty of their work and the symmetry involved in making them. The air of mystery and the depth of meaning in these shapes is quite a remarkable gift, and we would urge you to perceive these formations in that way and find meaning in that mystery. There are powerful forces at play in your atmosphere in this moment in time. Stay centered in the beauty of that energy and don't fear any unusual shifts you may perceive, as they are all in your highest good. Mike, who are the spiritually aware masters of the human world today? While there are many in the field who have achieved fame through their work, it is important to note that the most powerful leaders and teachers are not always those who are in the public eye. There are, placed among the small towns and communities, beings who simply live their lives in an unconventional way. They're not always the spiritual teachers. They are the artists, the free thinkers, the anarchists, the unconventional who stand out in their determination to be the highest expression of themselves in this lifetime. Their presence in the world is often the greatest form of influence on the masses, who tend toward a more conventional and less self-expressive form of life. Of course, those spiritual leaders who do achieve a certain amount of fame may be very important as well. And there are up-and-coming masters who will challenge previous notions of spirituality and religion, yourself among them. You must understand there is great wisdom scattered throughout your world, and its origin is the source energy that hums with an increasing frequency within the spirits of those who are being called forward. You will recognize them as brothers and sisters. Mike, have you ever communicated with some of Earth's best-known spiritual masters like Buddha, Krishna, Muhammad, or others? Since Jesus is best known to me and to most of my readers, any thoughts from him? Yes, we have connected with the energy of these and other spiritual masters. In fact, you may be interested to know that these masters are not exclusive to Earth. They have equivalent aspects of their beings existent in other worlds, such as ours. This does not mean that we depict them as human or that their followers believe in the same religious dogma as appears on your planet. It means that, as with all forms of consciousness, these higher beings are multidimensional and can send aspects of themselves that carry their wisdom and teaching to the far reaches of the universe and back, and that we can experience that wisdom in various physical and spiritual forms. The teachings of these spiritual leaders come from the aspect of Source that provides the opportunity to connect with the highest level of one's being and to focus on love, connection, compassion, truthfulness, and accountability of one's actions as a means to form a stronger connection with the energy of Source, which is present within all. The appearance of these teachers at various times in history coincides with a wave of intention to find that higher connection in order to cope with and respond to severe challenges in one's social environment. At the time of Jesus' appearance on earth, there were many challenges and corrupt leadership, which was causing great suffering among the masses. And so the global cry for help was met with the physical incarnation of a high vibrational spiritual master. It is important to point out, however, that the physical incarnation of these masters was not meant to create objects of worship, fear, or a sort of spiritual hierarchy that places the human or any other physical being at the bottom of the list. These spiritual masters incarnated into your world in such a way that they would be seen as regular humans, no different from any laborer or peasant, so that those around them could understand the divinity that lives in their own souls. The teaching of all these masters centered upon helping others recognize the power, wisdom, and love that lies at the heart of each and every conscious being, and the intention was that in understanding and honoring one's own divinity, a greater balance could be achieved in the treatment and support of the masses. As with any teaching, however, the lesson can only be integrated at the level of the individual's belief system and choice of truth. As such, those who understood that Jesus' teachings were meant to be about empowerment and self-love saw the threat to their own delusional power, and so they executed him. And when it was clear that this act only created a stronger force behind the lessons, they created religious dogma that skewed the teachings and made it seem to be advocating fear, judgment, and threats to the soul if one's behavior did not meet certain standards. Please know that the original words and teaching of all spiritual masters never included any such concepts. It is a manipulation of their words by those who seek to use them to control the masses, which has created religious dogma advocating fear. At the heart of every religion, just as at the heart of everything from the smallest atomic speck of energy to the whole of the universe, lies the energy of love. And anything that induces fear is not centered in this love, so it is not the truth. This is at the heart of all the teachings of all the spiritual masters you have experienced in your world and those we have knowledge of in ours. These masters come forth as the living embodiment of Source, as conduits of the love and power of Source, with the intention of helping those who choose to listen to become aware of the truth that everyone is this living embodiment and conduit of the divine. They did not incarnate with the intention to be worshipped or praised or feared. They came with the intention to reveal the truth. As such, all who seek to reveal the truth of each individual's divinity are divine masters in their own right. Accepting the role of divine teacher and master and choosing an incarnation in which these teachings are central to their life's purpose is evidence of these teachers' ascension and evolution to a supremely high energetic frequency. Only those who are willing to face the inherent persecution and judgment by the masses who fear the truth and who feel threatened by a population that cannot be controlled by the force of untruths will choose this path. And so, these master teachers continue their work within the spiritual realms of divinity. However, there are many among the ranks of ordinary incarnated beings, both human and non-human, who have chosen similar roles, but in a much less public way, seeking to teach on a smaller scale, without much recognition or fame, but with the same connection to the divine and the same intention to empower and inspire all they come into contact with toward their own highest level of being. These individuals may be recognized by a few, but will never achieve the level of worship and praise that the divine masters faced. However, their work is just as holy, pure, and necessary. As requested, we will bring forth some wisdom from the energy of Jesus. In the current moment of time, within your planet's history, in the current climate of fear and shifting energy, and within the intention to ascend beyond fear, hatred, and dogma, come legions of masters from the various realms, speaking through channelers, speaking through teachers and various leaders, speaking through the homeless and the billionaires, speaking through the persecuted and the worshipped, speaking words of love, compassion, and healing. My teachings are alive and well within the masses, in every sector of humanity on your planet, and the contrast to these teachings is the voice of fear. The fearful voice is becoming louder and more overwhelming for your people, only for the purpose of inciting an uprising against it, only to allow the truth to emerge even more strongly. For through persecution and hatred comes an even stronger wave of love and understanding, which will stand up against anything that gives the illusion of power to that which is not in alignment with Source. For Source is the only power, the only energy that lies at the heart of all of creation. Do not seek the truth in churches, in the political arena, in the wealthy or famous. Instead, seek it within your own heart, for the energy of the heart is in direct alignment with the energy of Source, which is the supreme truth of all beings. You are the creator of your life, but not only your own life is created by the power of your being, but all of life, all of reality, all things in the universal system. And it is within that act of creation that you are truly expressing the will of the divine. Part 3. The Greater Universe. These questions create the opportunity to learn about broader considerations beyond life on either Brahoshka or Earth, and to learn about universal truths presumably applying to all forms of life that, once known, will help us flourish here and now. Mike, can you explain our relationship with divine mind, God? And can you explain the disconnect we often feel between ourselves and Source? The divine mind or source energy is the basis of all energetic mass in the universe, and it is this energy that connects us to the essence of ourselves. Source energy is not just present when it is called upon. It is the current of force that energizes all matter and all energetic fields within the dimensional realms. Source is what animates us, and it is the originator of all aspects of being. That being said, as energetic emanations of Source, we are inherently connected to this divine energy. And in fact, this energy runs through the very core of all living beings, tying us intrinsically to our origins in a mutually responsive connection that allows Source to experience the incarnated life through the energy of the individual and allows the individual access to the limitless essence of Source. As we are all aspects of this divine mind, we are also intrinsically connected to each other through this non-judgmental and loving energy. This connection is also at the core of our beings, and it is in these moments of divine connection that we experience the greatest sense of wholeness and peace available to an incarnated being. By the same token, we are each individual aspects of this source energy, and as such, we express the different aspects through the individual nature of our personality and varying traits. We are provided with an ego, or a sense of separated selfhood, so that we are best able to exercise our individual free will and choice-making. It is within these acts of manifestation that we are exercising our divine powers of creation. The sense of separation stems from this realization of our own individual nature and from a belief structure that is built upon the idea of judgment, reward, and punishment. Instead of seeing ourselves as divine aspects of source energy, these types of dogma create a sense of obligation to a separate and self-righteous leader who sits in judgment of his lowly offspring. Many are taught to experience themselves as children of a vengeful father who were created merely to please their creator with acts of worship and contrition. It is difficult to feel a sense of connection with an energy that stands ready to punish those who do not please it. Many will lose their sense of divine connection because they feel unable to live up to the standards that are supposedly set by this higher power, and so they will eventually give up and find little pleasure in their lives, seeing themselves as inherently flawed beings who can never please their divine father. Still others will find joy in acts of service to their creator, but will never truly look within at the divinity that exists there. Instead, they will forever look outward to find that sense of connection, and most likely will never feel what it is that they wish to feel. Within each of these choices lies a divine experience that offers a different aspect of the evolution of the soul, and so it is important to remember that no choice is a wrong one for the experience of that being in this incarnation. Some may alternately choose such incarnations for the balance of experience known as karma and the richness of living many different types of incarnated lives to further educate and enlighten the soul. And then there will be those who will heed the intuitive calling of the heart and soul that is acutely aware of this direct connection to source energy and who will strive to honor that connection through the honoring of themselves, their lives, and their works. It is a fallacy to believe that source requires an external sense of worship that involves a diminishing of the individual. Rather, the true worship of source is experienced through acts of self-love and self-care, expression of the gifts of the soul, and sharing of the inner light of the individual, as these are true expressions of the divine. Source energy is ever flowing and ever moving through the energy of the incarnated being, and it is expressed through the inner senses, the intuition, and the creative expression of the individual. When one falls out of touch with these aspects of oneself, either as a result of social pressures or out of a sense of unreasonable expectations that one places on oneself, emotions become troubled and a sense of despair ensues. In this sense of despair lies loneliness and disconnection, not only with source energy, but with all other beings. The act of staying connected presents its own challenges, as the brain is wired with many volatile emotional responses to stimuli in the exterior world and is often ruled by the fears of the ego. It is through the spiritual practices of meditation, peaceful intention, and focus on the divine light within that one is most able to feel that ever-present connection and become aware of the subtle guidance presented by it. It is in those experiences of true connection that one is able to feel the authentic essence and nature of being. It is in the act of co-creation that one is truly expressing the divine light into a dimensional space of reality. Therefore, it is source that is at the essence of all creation, and as such, all creation is connected as vibrational frequency back to source. And we are going to pause now for the end of this week's program. But we will continue with this work in the coming weeks. As always, I wish you a beautiful, joyous, and peaceful new week, and I look forward to being with you next time on our Philosopher program.